All right. Well, we're good. We're just glad to have you. So take your Bibles. We'll just get right to it. Your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 28. Proverbs chapter 28 this evening. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 28. All right. Now, let's see, Josh, and I think you've been kind of under the weather, haven't you? And it's good to have you back with us tonight. And by the way, your notebook is excellent. Very good. And I've got it there by my door to make sure I give it to you, but haven't seen you, so I'll give it to you after the service tonight. But he's doing a commentary on some parts of the Scripture, and just did an excellent job of it. Sure did. All right, let me encourage the rest of you. Write your own commentary. I had someone many years ago that challenged me to do that, and I thought, there's no way I can do that. But when you go verse by verse, and it doesn't mean you have to, you know, write a volume. It may end up being that way, but when you start doing your own study, it drives you into a little more deeply, and then you get a little skill in going a little more deeply. Well, then guess what? When you start doing that, you continue to gain those skills, and it's just like swimming or riding a bike or anything else. But this is even better because you have the Holy Spirit, who's your tutor. And he travels with you while you're in the car and you're thinking about a scripture. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. That's good. And it's that kind of a thing. So I hope that you will. And if you've not done that before, choose a book like Philippians or a book like that that maybe is not real challenging as far as deep doctrine, but boy, is it rich in Bible principles. And I think you'll find it to be a huge, huge blessing. And then you can always go back and do it again. And the next time you'll see your notes and go, yeah, I remember that. Lord, I'm still hungry though. Will you help me to see what I didn't see the first time? And you'll find that it'll be a blessing. Did you enjoy it? Oh, I did as well. And I have a number of times in different books. All right, so I've picked about three verses. I was tempted to take several more, but I know we've got some guys that are going to be doing some of the teaching. So next week, they'll be in Proverbs 28. And so as you look at verses 1 and 2, wonderful passage of Scripture. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. It's tempted to do that. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Okay, that's got some understanding in it. But a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. But then as I read this chapter over and over and over and over, and began to focus on something that's found in verse number 3. But it's not just in verse number 3. And so you're going to see it as we look at it. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. I thought, okay, that makes sense. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Okay, all right, I see that. Evil men, verse 5. Verse 6, better is the poor. Okay, now here you have the same theme again. Better is the poor that walketh in his unrightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Okay, well, that's good. There's a lot of times that it makes two references to the poor. Okay, all right. So, whoso keepeth the law, verse 7, verse 8, he that by usury, that's interest, that's not the right kind. There's some interest that is not wrong, but there's some that is not right. And we won't go into all that tonight, but that's what he's talking about. And the unjust gain increase of the substance. All right. Verse number 9, he that turneth away his ear, that's good from hearing the law. I was tempted to focus on the law because it's in here several times as well. Verse 10, he causeth the righteous to go astray, and that's what happens when he does that. Then we come to verse number 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor hath understanding searcheth him out. Boy, that's, there you go again, that's three times. Okay, here we go. The righteous man, 12, 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Excellent verse. Oh, I need to remember that. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Doesn't say they're destined to failure. Just says, you know, if you confess it and forsake it, then you have mercy. Happy is the man. I like that. Then we come to verse number 12, or verse 15, excuse me.
As a roaring lion, as a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Wow. Four times in this one chapter, he is referencing the poor. And kind of has that same theme as he... Well, let's go all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Boy, I couldn't help but just say, okay, Lord, you put it four times. You had Solomon write four times in this one chapter. Let me just go back and think about it a little bit. Let me pray about this a little bit. So as I did, I really focused on three verses. The other two are certainly commentaries on it as well. But as we look at verse number three again, let's notice what it says. A poor man that oppresseth is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. All right, then you come to verse number six. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways. Verse number 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. There's really something that just aimed at me in these three verses of Scripture. And here's the way I wrote it, just for Randy Bray's thoughts. It just helps me to kind of put things together for me. After verse number three, I put, well, it's a poor man that oppresseth is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. All right, that's one thing. And then you have the other two verses that I've already mentioned. Here's the principle, the key principle that just centered on my heart. Poverty is often a creator of settings. You say, wait a minute, poverty is a setting. Well, it is. I'll grant you that. But the setting of poverty often creates different types of settings. In this particular passage, you'll see here that it can be a creator of positive settings. It can be a creator of negative settings. So the one thing that is constant throughout this entire chapter is that there are poor people. But there's different responses to their condition of being poor. Their condition of being poor is already established. Notice, if you will, verse 3, a poor man. All right, so he is poor already. Look at verse number 6, wherever it went. Verse number 6, better is the poor. And then verse number 11, he says the poor. But there's another word that's also in all three verses. Can you see it real fast? See if you can find it real quickly. Okay, verse number 3, verse number 6, and verse number 11. There's another word that appears three times in all three of those verses. That. Very good. It's the word that. In other words, the condition of being poor is a condition that all three of these were in. One, he is like a rain that sweepeth, that driveth away, that sweepeth, what it says, that's a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. So here's a poor man that oppresses the poor. You'd say they wouldn't do that. Why, there is a fraternity, there is a fellowship among the poor. If you've ever been associated with anybody that lives on the street, they'll tell you. Now, there are some that either for reasons of protection or they just have a commonality. But on the street, you better watch your back. Better watch yourself. I had someone this week, I think it was this week, it may have been last week, someone this week or last week, that I was saying, you might want to watch that. And he said, well, if somebody gets it, they just get it. I got it, you know, and somebody else gets it, they must need it more than I do. I know in some other countries, I can't remember if it was Mexico or Venezuela, and it may have been somewhere else, but I think it was one of those two, that if you leave something out, it is just common knowledge. If you leave it out, you'll notice there's nothing in the yards. That's strange. They don't have any bikes out. They don't have anything like that. It's just common knowledge that if you leave it out, it's up for grabs. And you can't blame anyone but yourself if it's gone. All right? Now, let's look at this. He says that a poor man that oppresseth, the word oppresseth has the idea to defraud. It has to do violence. So it's not doing anything good. It says the poor man that, there's the key word, that oppresseth. So here is a poor man that looks at life like it's a dog-eat-dog world. Everything's transitory. I may have it now, but somebody may beat me up and take it. If you know anything about the streets, and I was in Los Angeles and lived there. My parents lived there for a number of years. I was just there for 1 year. But, I mean, you can go about any major city now, and if you go down the street, you find folks that oftentimes, now not everybody's that way. Some people on the street are just as nice, and they've just been through a rough life, but they have to watch their backs too, because there are a significant number that will just do all kinds. If you got to leave anything out, it's gone. It can be gone in a hurry. So here is a poor man that's in that condition, and you would think, all right, well, this lady's poor, I'm going to help her out. No. If they have to spit on you to get what they want, if they have to steal from you when you're down and sick and they'll just take whatever you have, if it's the winter time and they can get your coat or your robe or whatever it is, they'll get it. If you have some booze, if you have drugs or whatever you have, they will do whatever it takes if it means taking your life sometimes. Now here we have a poor man that oppresseth the poor. Now notice it says different things about it. Notice it says that oppresseth. Now he does that by his will, does he not? He doesn't have anything that's got him like this and, all right, you're going to beat up on that old lady. You're going to beat up on that old man. No. It is he that oppresseth. So the people who are poor also have a will. And you're going to see it in these other two verses. But in this verse, he that oppresseth, all right, so he is exercising his will, that oppresseth, the poor man that oppresseth the poor, all right, notice what it says, is like a sweeping rain. What does a sweeping rain do? A sweeping rain, if you see a gully, and you have a downpour, I mean, there's a gully washer, and if you have that, what does it do? It's going to carry along with it everything that it can. Is that right? If it's logs, if it's a car. I grew up in Phoenix most of the time, and in Phoenix, they're terrible about having ditches. They have irrigation, but as far as just having drainage, it's so dry there, they very seldom do. And so every year, there's people who drown because they're not used to driving in rain. And so there's little spots that'll go out, and it's just deep enough that if you get a car, it'll hydroplane on it, or not plane, it'll float on it. And the current, because of the water coming down from Camelback Mountain or South Mountain or North Mountain or whatever it is, it comes down so fast, and it'll fill in whatever that is. If it's a deep gully, it'll fill it in, and people get trapped in their cars and drown. Okay, so he is saying this, a poor man that has chosen to get what he wants or she wants, no matter what it takes to get it, if they can just beg it, if they can borrow it, if they can steal it, being overpowering him, no matter what, she is like a driving rain that sweepeth away. How does it say it? Sweeping rain which leaveth no food. So you see, the sweeping rain is the method. Okay? He's a poor man that oppresseth, so that is his ambition, his will. Sweeping rain is the method which leaveth, that's his apathy, his arrogance. I need it more than they do. They're about to die anyway. He's dead, he's not going to need it. You know, after all. And these are goody two-shoes. They're going to go to the rescue mission, and they'll have pity on him and give it. I'm not going to go in that place, so I'll just take it, and he'll go or she'll go get what they want. They're arrogant, even watching them die. And notice what it says, and leaveth what? No food. In other words, it's saying here, someone, a poor man, that's That's not the motivation. Because you're going to see that a poor man can also be have positive things that happens. So it's not in the setting of being poor that mandates that you just go out and do what you have to do and you get what you have to have and you just take what you want. No, that's an action of the will. But when a person gives into that, and so they begin to justify, not when they're killing, not when they're beating up, not when maybe it's at work and they've got 4,000 of those thingamajigs. I only need 2. So they're never going to miss it, so I'll just take it. I'm poor in that. I may be wealthy in something else, but I need these things, so it's okay if I take them. It's okay if I tell a little white lie. After all, it's not a big, ugly, stealing kind of a lie. It's just a little white lie. But once they begin that pattern, he says, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. He's compassionless and he's calloused. This poor man becomes hardened and believes life is transitory. I've already mentioned that. And so now this poor man's response became his survival strategy. Now, with that in mind, all right, we've already seen verse number 3, but now we're going to look at verse number 6. So poverty can be a creator of negative settings. Ultimately, narcissistic, where I'm focused on self and all of that. But now let's look at verse number 6. Verse number 6 says this: better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. Okay, we won't look at the rest of it. It's just going to contrast it. But let's notice it. He starts with the poor again. Now the first guy was poor. That was his setting. And then what did he do within his setting? He justified. She justified a little here and a little there. And finally, they came to a point where they oppress the poor, and like a sweeping rain, they take away. There's nothing left. Not even that which is necessary for the survival of this individual. Now, it may not be the survival of food. It may be the survival of a family relationship. It may be the survival. But whatever way in which an individual's poor, when they begin to negotiate as a child of God, they begin to negotiate, well, this may not be exactly right, but once they start putting that three-letter contrasting conjunction but in there, and they begin to give themselves justified reason why in this setting it's okay, then the fact that they were poor didn't cause them to do that. Now, it may have created a setting, but made a setting. But once they're poor, then they had the opportunity of responding righteously. They didn't. But now in this one, better is the poor. What's the next word after that? I just gave it to you. All right. Well, it's the word that. I didn't mean to. I just went right along with it. Blessed is the poor that. So here we have the same condition, being poor. But this poor man, notice what he does. He walketh in his uprightness. So he is poor, but he is also upright. Now this is just my play on the words here. Here is a man that is walking in his uprightness. If you took the word uprightness and separated after the P and before the letter R, you would have a man who is in a way looking up and searching for the right way to respond in his poverty. Again, we're not just talking about finances now. We're talking about, what about this part of life or that part of life? And you can fill in the blanks on that. But the point I'm trying to make is, it says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. So while he is walking, and I don't know, this is the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they have different words for walk. One is walking in a straight line like a soldier walks in formation. The word I like that's used many times in the New Testament is parapateo. Para means it's a preposition, has the idea around, and pateo is to walk. It's the idea of just walking around. You're walking around in life, and you're just walking, whether it's at the job, at home, at church, wherever you're walking. So let's use this word. It's not that's Hebrew here where the other's Greek, but here's the point. Here is a poor man. He's poor. That's his setting, just like the first guy. But instead of oppressing the poor, this man is, if I could put it this way, is looking up and he's looking for the righteous way to respond in his setting. Lord, would you have me to steal from somebody else? Now, they've got five of them. I just need one. They only need one. Is it righteous to steal? Lord, is it righteous for me? You remember 2 Peter chapter 1. He gives us the stair steps into Christ's likeness. And it's a wonderful text because Romans chapter 1 gives us the stair steps down into total defilement. But 2 Peter chapter 1, when you're dealing with someone who's gone down that pathway of total defilement, they may be on step number 2 down, maybe step number 11 down. Romans 1:16, you remember that? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and I've got to quit shortly. All right, so I don't have time to go into that. But Romans 1 is going down, 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 down. But then somebody gets saved, and they're down there. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe they're immoral. Maybe they're relatively moral and good, but they've just gotten saved. Now they're a child of God, and they don't know how to do it. But let's say it's somebody down here. You take them to 2 Peter chapter 1. And he tells them the promises. We've talked about that a number of times here. But I love the text. He says, and beside all this, beside obtaining the very nature of God, beside not having the corruption that's in the world through lust, he says, and beside all this, giving diligence, add to your faith. What's the next one? Anybody remember? It's virtue. Here's the Braeology understanding of virtue. It literally means moral uprightness. I have to kind of think through that every time I say it. Moral uprightness. So here's what Bray did. Okay, you don't have to. But it's sound according to the definitions. It's doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, for the right reason. Doing the right thing at the right time and the right place for the right reason. Moral uprightness, virtue. That's what this poor man is doing. He's walking in life. He's poor. Maybe he can't go out and get food for his family. Maybe whatever it is, maybe it's poor in a different area, personality, poor in this, poor in that. And he's not going to allow himself to make those calls where he has to compromise his walk with the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Oh, I have just a moment left. Verse number 11. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. Now follow, this is good. At least it is for me. I needed it. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. So the rich man's, he's judging how he's doing based on what he believes he's doing. And you know, right, wrong, I'm good. No, I'm in good shape. Don't worry about me. Okay? So the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath, there it is, that hath, that means it's already in place, understanding. So here's a poor man, just like the first one, who oppressed the poor so he can get what he wanted. He didn't care why. And it was like a sweeping rain that driveth away even the food, the necessities of life. Let them die. I don't care. They can go find some food somewhere else or whatever else it is. Calloused and hardened. But then you had another poor man that walked in his uprightness. He was poor. His clothing revealed that he was poor. You know, maybe other factors would give you an indication this man just doesn't have much. But now we have the last of the three that I wanted to address, and I've got to hurry on to the young people. The rich man that is wise in his own conceit, but, now think about conceit. What's necessary to become conceitful, conceited? Blindness? Pride? Okay, do we process that in our livers? No. How about in our hypothalamus. I was trying to say hypothalamiac. I couldn't get it out. All right. Does it in our pituitary gland? Where does it take place? Obviously, in our what? In our minds, right? So a man is conceited because he has evaluated his mind. Oh, okay, yeah, it's okay, I got it, I like it. Yeah, that's right. I know better than anybody else, I got it. Okay, but what does the poor man do? Okay, the rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out so that he can make fun of him. No, so that he can look down in a condescending way. The rich man, he's just a rich old snob. No. Because a man who lives by way of conceit is going to make all kinds of mistakes. And here's a poor man. Yes, his state is being poor. That's an established fact. But what doesn't have to happen is that he becomes hardened and arrogant and calloused, like the first one we talked about. And as he walks about in his uprightness, looking up, saying, Lord, what is the right way that I'm supposed to do this in a tough family situation, in a tough financial situation, in a tough job situation? Lord, what would you have me to do? Because I want to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place. And a man who does that, instead of judging himself by himself, he's learned how to process. And he is a man or a woman of understanding. And when the rich man says, hey, you don't have to worry about that, this man, the poor man, is going to look at it and say, now, he may be wealthy, but maybe he came by his wealth in an unrighteous way. I better be careful lest I do the same. Or this man may say, hey, I'm going to eat, live, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Doesn't the Bible say it like that? Well, now, wait a minute. So, maybe this doesn't make sense to anybody else but me tonight. But it's saying to Randy Bray, it's not whether I'm poor or not that makes the difference. It's what I do with the Word of God and how I approach it according to the will of God. And if I want understanding, I need to go to the Word of God, because he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why do we need the word of truth divided? Because our settings are different from time to time. And we need to be able to assess, this is appropriate for this setting or this is not. But then I use the word of God, because the Bible says it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for correction, or for rebuke, excuse me, for reproof, which is rebuke, that tells me when I'm wrong. For correction, tells me how to get back right. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly walking in uprightness, judging, understanding, a man of understanding, thoroughly furnished unto how many good works? All, unto all good works. So tonight, as I rush out and Brother Jesse rushes in, and you go to prayer and I go to teaching the young people, but as we do, ask yourself, in what area in life am I poor? Sometimes it may be personality. Sometimes it may be financially. Sometimes it may be in skill sets. We can either wallow in that and then begin excusing why I do what I do, because nobody cares about me. Or why do I do? We're all subject to that. I am. Maybe you're not, but I sure am. But if I am going to be a man that walks in uprightness, then I need to be a man that hath understanding. And understand God's ways are what? Perfect. They're perfect. They're complete. And if I'll follow the Holy Spirit's tutorage as he teaches the Word of God, oh, what a difference it'll make. What a difference it'll make. I hope that made sense tonight. It spoke to my heart about my setting is less important than my perspective. My setting is less important than my walk with the Lord. My setting does not mean that I have all understanding. But I better be hard about that, trying to find new ways to see God's perspective on life's settings, because poverty is often a creator of settings. Poverty is a setting itself, but it can either be a setting of righteousness, uprightness, a setting of understanding, or the other part of those three verses where it contrasted with those who are not at that place. All right. Lord bless you, brother, if you'll come. And I hope this was a help tonight. Lord bless you.